Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. You know, I've been talking about dog bite prevention for a very long time. But here's some good news. There's the bad news, more bites than ever before. We'll talk about why, but the good news we will talk about as well, and someone who is working on that, who is from Chicago. Speaking of from Chicago, the head of development and community engagement, which must mean she is there whenever people become engaged. I don't know. Of Orphans of the Storm, it is Sandy Delisle. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Steve.
Are you responsible for all engagements in Chicago?
Well, not all of them, but I do have my ordained minister's license, so I can help out if needed.
Well, that would be cool. Have you ever had any weddings at Orphans of the Storm?
No, but let's do it. I love it.
I think that is a good idea. I can get married there. The problem is I already am for many years, but my wife and I have renewed our vows. So maybe what you can do, I'm not kidding you here, because it's a beautiful setting, right, where you are?
It is. We are in beautiful Riverwoods. We've got a nature trail that is stunning. It's fully wooded. We would love to host you and Robin for your renewals.
Okay, maybe I didn't mean to go there, but I would do it if it would raise money. Or maybe instead of giving a wedding gift, you can have people in the community. I mean, you could promote this. This can be a year into marketing. This could be a marketing campaign. It's not what you're here to talk about, but I'm talking about it now. What a cool idea for an animal shelter. You could bring your pets or maybe adoptable dogs. I'm not sure the cats would be thrilled, but adoptable dogs can be a part of the wedding ceremony and a part of the wedding. So the best man can be that dog down there. The matron of honor, is that what they call it? Can be that dog over there. And everyone in the wedding party is a canine.
We're in. Let's do it, Steve.
And you charge for that. You know, whatever you charge, and you raise money for that. And we'll talk about what Orphans of the Storm down the road is going to be doing. But first, I want to talk about what Orphans of the Storm is doing now. I can say that I've become friends with Elizabeth French. She is the mother of slain Chicago police officer Ella French. Because Ella was a huge, huge, as is her mom, lover of animals, dogs specifically. Different kinds of dogs. I think Ella went for the pit bull type dogs, and Elizabeth goes for those smaller dogs, if I'm thinking correctly here. But a dog is a dog is a dog, and they love dogs. And since her passing, to remember her daughter in the best way possible, Elizabeth French, the mother, has promoted and supported various animal charities, including anti-cruelty. So So you've got something coming up that also does the same. Tell me about it.
Yes. So we were approached by a world-renowned sculptor named Eric Blohm, who had been commissioned by Chicago Alderman Marty Quinn to create a sculpture honoring Ella and her love of dogs that would be hosted at a dog park in Chicago. And he was looking for a pit bull type dog model and wondered if we could assist at Orphans of the Storm. He had adopted from us previously, and so he thought of us, and we were thrilled and honored to assist. So we provided with a model for him. Her name is Whitney. She's available for adoption. She's one of our longest stay pups. We think she's probably a pit bull lab mix of some sort, like most animals or most shelter dogs are mixes of something or another. Mm-hmm. And she has a little bit hard of a time warming up to people, which is why we think that she's been waiting for so long. But once she gets to know you, Steve, she is your bestie. She loves to hang out. She is one of the smartest dogs that I've encountered. She can do any trick or task that you put before her. and she's never met a couch that she doesn't love.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit. So you walk into, and I don't know that you're a part of what's called the Open Paw program or not, but the idea is that volunteers at the shelter come in, feed the dogs, just treats. That's all. And you can't do that unless the dog comes to the very front of the enclosure of where the dog is at. And the same for cats, by the way. And the idea of doing that is a great one. The idea is having rotating volunteers do this so the dogs get accustomed when people walk in to going up front, even shy dogs. But with shy dogs, they need more work. And I assume that this dog is just that, is just shy, a bit wary maybe because of the dog's history. But we're not talking, I don't believe, about an aggressive dog.
No, she isn't. She just, like you said, she has that initial fear. She's unsure. But once she knows you and you're in her pack, you're going to be besties. Luckily, she is currently in a foster home.
Oh, good, good.
Yes, but they are not going to be able to keep her forever. So we definitely need to find her forever home. And she just is the perfect model for Eric's sculpture. And we're just so thrilled to be a part of this and just honored to be able to recognize Ella, Officer French, in this way for her contributions. And what an absolute tragedy it was that she was killed.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Of course, you know, I don't know that anyone would disagree with that. Honoring her is a good thing. The best thing would it for it to not have happened in the first place. So she would be able to continue the good work she did to foster dogs and to rescue dogs as a police officer. And I don't know that people talk about this enough, you know. Police officers in your community where you are, in Chicago where I am, all over the country, they see a stray animal. And while not every police officer, I'm sure, does this, most do, actually. They go out and they do the best they can to try to recover. That's not their job. It's animal control's job. But they're human beings who care about animals and care about helping those in need, even those that aren't animals, just in need. That's what police officers, in my experience, are greatly all about. And I don't think that's spoken about enough. And I know Ella French did that.
Right. Yes, I agree. We've had a number of officers bring animals to our facility, and once they're through the stray hold, they'll come back and adopt the animal.
Yeah.
So I agree. Lots of soft-hearted officers out there.
All right. Sandy Delisle, who is with Orphans of the Storm. You mentioned fostering. I want to talk about what that is exactly, because I think sometimes people are hesitant to do it. So I want to encourage people to do that with you. We will do that. We'll talk about the future of Orphans of the Storm, and we're going to talk baseball. We'll do all of that when we come back on WGN. Sandy Delisle with Orphans of the Storm, head of development and community engagement. Fostering, you mentioned that. The secret sauce for animal shelters, of course, adopting out animals, so therefore space becomes available for the animal coming in if someone adopts an animal. However, there's something else, and that the two other things. There are rescue organizations. So if the animal coming in happens to be, a short-haired pointer, whatever the breed is, and you're sure that this may be a purebred dog, many animal shelters will contact rescue, and a rescue organization representing that breed, whatever that breed is, what did I say, short-haired pointers, then they'll come in and they'll say, oh, we'll take the dog and we'll find a home for that dog, which makes space available at the shelter. The other are foster families who take that dog or cat or whatever animal it is in temporarily to do all sorts of things. You know, Orphans of the Storm is a great place, but I'm sure you'd agree it's not like home. So now the animal is in a home. Also, the foster family can teach the dog to sit, stay, roll over, can report whether the cat has litter box issues, and if it does, to deal with those behavior issues, whatever they may be. Do dogs and cats, if it's a dog, is it getting along with the family cat okay? Is it getting along with children okay? Report everything about the personality of that animal to help work with that animal, which is all a wonderful, wonderful thing, I think. But most importantly, maybe, frees up space at the shelter. Talk about how people can foster in general and specifically at Orphans of the Storm.
Yes, thanks for bringing up fostering, because I do think that program is the unsung hero at so many shelters. To your point, it gets animals out of the shelter where they can de-stress in a home setting. You get to learn so much about them. And that information is super helpful for marketing purposes, because to your point, you now maybe learn that this dog is great with cats, and there's maybe someone out there who's looking specifically for a dog who is good with cats. So all of this information is so incredibly helpful. Now, at Orphans of the Storm, it's very easy to foster. All you have to do is go to orphansofthestorm.org/foster. We have a very simple form you fill out online, pretty much just telling us what your home life is like, how often you're home, what pets you already have in the home. And then we get back to you with recommendations of pets that would be a good fit for your home. And we're pretty flexible at Orphans. We don't have set rules around how long you have to keep the animal or how short of a time period. We work with individuals so that they get the benefit of having the pet in the home, getting to learn all that crucial information we discussed for marketing purposes, allowing the animal to de-stress, but also they get the benefit of having a furry companion. And we often run weekend foster specials in conjunction with holidays. Like over the 4th of July, we did one, trying to get pets into homes during the fireworks so that it would be less stressful. They could chill out in someone's home instead of being inside the shelter and experiencing the trauma of the fireworks. So again, we're happy to work with folks short and long term.
I think it's a great idea, but specifically, it's a great idea in general. But specifically, I'm thinking, you know, for someone, for example, who travels a lot, but I know I'm going to be here for the next 3 months. And then I'm off again to wherever, you know, for work or for pleasure. But for the next 3 months, I'm here. That might be a good candidate. Or a senior citizen who says, you know what, I've done it. I've had so many pets. I really don't want to make that commitment again because I'm 79 years old or whatever that may be. But maybe for a few months, it wouldn't be so bad. Are those examples of the kind of folks you're looking for?
Absolutely. It could be even a college student who's home for the summer and has 2 months to devote to an animal. And the other examples you listed are great examples. Really, anybody can do it. People who are working full time can even do it, because quite honestly, the animal, if they're at Orphans, they'll predominantly be in a kennel the majority of the day anyway. So there are many folks who fostering works out well for. And I forgot to mention, as is probably the case with most shelters and their foster programs, we provide all of the resources that folks need to care for the animals. That includes the bedding, the kennel, the food, the veterinary care. It's all on us. So people do not have to incur any costs by bringing these animals into their homes.
But if they make a donation to Orphans, you don't deny that, do you?
We would be thrilled.
Orphans of the Storm has been around a very long time. It's a legendary animal shelter. It's in Riverwoods. First of all, I want to talk about misconceptions of the suburbs. It is thought by many, you're in fancy, swanky Riverwoods. Woo! Deerfield, Highland Park, that area. There are no issues. We barely get any pets coming in. People don't need to rehome animals. Can you bust that myth? If indeed it is bustable, if that's even a word.
It's absolutely bustable. We can for sure attest to the fact that people are relinquishing animals regardless of where they live. There are so many factors that come into play when it comes to pet ownership. It could be related to financial hardship. It could be related to housing. Unfortunately, it seems like more and more apartment complexes are making it challenging for people to keep dogs, especially particularly large dogs. Mm-hmm. So we do experience that. And on top of that, at Orphans, we are thrilled to partner with so many local animal agencies, including Chicago Animal Care and Control, Waukegan Animal Care and Control, Lake County Animal Care and Control. So whatever's happening around Chicagoland is happening at Orphans, because we do reach out and we bring in animals in need from other communities as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So the animal control facilities, or the municipal facilities you mentioned, by law, if an animal comes to their door, they must accept that animal. But what if they don't have room? That means someone may be euthanized that day. But one solution, and now there are many, one of them we talked about, that's fostering. But another solution are shelters like you, and it's happening all over the Chicago area, all over the country, have come to the rescue to say, private facilities like your own, okay, we have space for three dogs and four cats or whatever it might be. What do you have? Or the other way around, where Chicago Animal Control or another agency contacts you and says, please take this dog. That is now another way to save animals, Sandy.
It is. Yep. And we're doing it all the time.
Which is absolutely wonderful. So your animal shelter has been around, dare I say, longer than you. I want to talk about Orphans of the Storm and their long history and plans for the future, super secret plans we will reveal right here. And also talk baseball, that's right, baseball with Sandy Delisle of Orphans of the Storm when we come back. Next week on the show, Dr. Jeff Bloomberg will be here. He is filling a void that is so incredibly important in veterinary medicine. So today, there are lots and lots of reasons why your pet may need an ultrasound. The veterinarian may say, this would be a good idea, if not a necessary idea, in order to diagnose any number of potential issues. We have that technology. It's not especially new. However, how do you get that ultrasound done? Most clinics don't offer that. Most private practices don't have the equipment to do it. Or they send you to the emergency facility, and not only does that cost a lot of money, you might have to wait a very long time, which we'll talk about next week. So that's not the answer either. So what's the answer? Having a facility that specifically does that, and only that, provides ultrasounds. That's what Dr. Bloomberg is doing, and we'll talk about that next week. Sandy Delisle is the, let me get this right, the head of development and community engagement at Orphans of the Storm. That is in Riverwoods, right next to Deerfield, near Highland Park, kind of, north of Glenview. I think I've got that about right. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. The shelter has been around, well, a couple of years, Sandy.
Yeah, multiply that by what? 20? No, more than that. I'm not good at math, Steve. We're almost 96 years old, so we are approaching our 100-year mark.
And for what that 100-year mark, you have some plans.
So, Steve, we have a vision that in our next 100 years, we will be able to re-envision, rebuild the shelter on its current location. We're not currently up to standards when it comes to state-of-the-art animal sheltering, given that much of our current facility is in its original condition back from 1928. So although we have found loving homes for over 150,000 animals in that time, and we've cared for them, we really need a new facility. So it is our dream in the upcoming years to start plans for that. And we're very excited to embark on that. And we'll be reaching out to the community in the months and years ahead for assistance with that.
Well, I think you said embark only because we're talking about what you do. And you've been involved with Embark? And never mind. But you've been involved with what you do for a very long time, previous to Orphans of the Storm, and so many people in that particular profession, in your profession, they have a history. Okay, you work with one. So you were at the ASPCA, if I recall correctly?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was there for about 10 years, and before that I was at the Humane Society of the United States. But it all started for me, anyway, at Orphans of the Storm. And I started volunteering there when I was in high school, and that's where my love and passion for animal welfare really started. And it's just taken me on this amazing career to try to help pets and people.
Yeah, and Orphans of the Storm is so much involved and ingrained in that community which you are in. And has been for a very long time, as you point out. So when you have a big announcement to make, and I'm guessing you will, as far as a capital campaign type thing, we'll have you back on the radio to talk about that. Speaking of campaigns, you were involved in another one. You said, I am going to make a movie. And like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, you got it done.
That's true. So although it may not seem related, the movie is related to animal welfare because that's how I roll. Pretty much anything I get myself involved in has that tie-in. So I wrote a movie called You're Out, and it's about two dads who take their sons on a cross-country road trip to get them recruited by a Division I college baseball team. And along the way, they found a stray dog who is in need of a home. And speaking of fostering, they foster the dog for a bit and then ultimately end up adopting the dog. So the dog in the movie really represents all of the dogs currently sitting in shelters right now, just waiting for someone to give them a chance. So the movie was a fun way to share an animal welfare message and entertain at the same time.
Yeah, it's a sort of a road trip thing, and it is an entertaining movie, but I'm not a movie critic, but you know what? The movie critics said the same. You won, I think at this point, multiple awards, Sandy. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, for a little Chicago-based indie film, we're not doing so bad. We got a great award from our most recent one was Best Independent Comedy Film 2023 from the Queen City Film Festival. We got a Cannes Award for Best Road Trip Comedy.
Now, hold on. I'm interrupting you, I know, but that's, you just went right. Cannes, like the big thing in Paris?
So it is a similar, it's not the ginormous one, although we did appear at that one as well. We had representation there. We did not win that one. This one is called Cannes World Film Festival. The other one you're thinking of has a little bit different of a name, but nonetheless, it's still a very reputable film festival, and we were thrilled to get that award.
And the
well.
One I'm thinking of, I misspoke, is actually in Cannes, not in Paris. But still, I mean, it's a wonderful thing that you've won all of these awards. And I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get one of those awards, this other award called the Oscar for Best Supporting. Actually, it would be for Best Supporting Actor.
You should have gotten it.
I think
I voted for you. Yeah, you were amazing in the film, Steve. We wrote a part for you that was very fitting of who you are and your love of animals. You played a police officer, tying this all back in, who was taking bribes to benefit animals in need. And your own little pup appeared in the film as well, which was adorable.
Well, thank you and congratulations. Now I need to ask you, the movie called You're Out. Will there be a You're Out 2? Maybe You're Safe? I don't know.
I love that. I think we should talk about that. Yeah, let's see if we can get some funding for it and we'll do it.
Oh, you need money, huh?
Yeah, that's the thing. You do.
That's a shame. How much money does it cost to make a movie, even a low-budget movie?
It really depends. I've heard of people making micro-budget films on $5,000. I don't know how you would pull that off, quite frankly. We were significantly more than that, but we came in under $200. And I think the quality, you will attest as well, mm-hmm. is pretty darn good. We had an amazing crew. We had Lady K Productions based in Chicago. Phenomenal. We had Paper Star Video, also another production company in Chicago. They gave us some really great rates, and the director, Kay Meraz, with Lady K Productions was phenomenal.
Yeah, she was terrific. You know, the Bear, all Chicago, right? And look what happened to that show. So I can see you doing something called The Dog. Maybe you will. Sandy Delisle of Orphans of the Storm. What is the website one more time if you're interested in fostering or volunteering at Orphans of the Storm?
Our website is orphansofthestorm.org.
Perfect. Oh, and if you want to stream the movie, you're out. How do people do that?
Oh, yes, for sure. They can go to youroutmovie.com. And then /watch will get you directly to all of the links to where you can watch it. But the general URL is youroutmovie.com.
You're out! And actually, you are now because we're out of time. Sandy Delisle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. It's always a pleasure.
I've been talking about this for a while. Dog bite numbers are up, and that's a problem. Nahid Shirzad Khan is here. She is with the Center for Canine Behavior Studies, is working on an initiative we'll talk about. And you have done so much. Thank you for doing this, including information, and we'll give the website in a moment, that people, because most dog bites, Nahid, I assume you agree, are preventable. Do you agree?
Yes, of course. So amongst of the studies, so first of all, hello, everyone. My name is Nahid Shirzad Khan, and I'm really glad to be here to talk about this big issue, not only in the U.S., but in the world. So dog bites is really, it can be preventable because, like, back to the numbers, dog bites, if happened every 75 seconds in the U.S.
Wow.
And it's second ranked of the ER visit in the U.S., so around 4.5 million people bite in the U.S., which 51% is the children. And interestingly, that these bites, 53% of these bites happen by the family dogs.
Yeah.
But with the dog, doesn't have any aggressive issues. The dog is a really well-behaved dog, doesn't have any aggressive, like a past record or something like that. And the recent study and kind of like approved by both Angers University Hospital's local ethical committee and the French Data Regulatory Authority, CNIL, came out, and it says that 31% of the dog bites happen because of playing or petting or kind of like wrong child dog behavior interactions. So if we have education, we can stop this at least like half of the dog bites. So because like these are the dogs that does not have aggressive things. These are family dogs.
So what kind of education do we need? And I ask that because I know that you created Be Bite Smart, a device application, which, by the way, I've looked at. It's incredible, but we need people to look at that and at the same time look at their dogs, pay attention to what their dogs are telling them.
Yeah, it's a great question. So most of the education now people can access is like kind of like interactive, is a PDF. Mostly the PDF is the books, which not interactive for children and parents and families. So we need interactive learning kind of like tools to help children to kind of like learn about that. So I kind of like was a lead designer to design this BeBite smart device application, which empowering children with a fun, safe learning adventure. So the BeBite smart app is an age-appropriate learning simulation game designed to explore essential child-dog interaction and real-life scenarios through engaging games, lessons, and quizzes. So children play with the AR dog. It's not an actual dog. It's an augmented reality dog, but they can see this in the space. So they play with that. Wrong interaction happening. For instance, they're just petting the wrong area, or they're just interrupt the dog when the dog eating. So the app and then the kind of like it interacts. It shows and it shows the children that kind of like this is not the right interaction. But no worries of the ER visit because all is kind of like it's just the app. This is not actual bite. It's not happening. And children learn that, okay, if I pet this area, it's wrong. I cannot pet this area. Or if the dog showing the teeth, it's sign of the aggression or dog body signal, or kind of like in Center for Canine Behavior Studies, we call it canine literacy. So we have the amazing people in the Center for Canine Behavior Studies, like Dr. Nicholas Stodman and Vivian Zosella. They're all amazing people, have really deep kind of like expert knowledge, scientific 12 years kind of like scientific award-winning research, and I kind of like translate this research to the design, which is tangible for children and parents. So this app helps children to learn dog body language, canine literacy.
For example, and just to give people an idea, don't yell at me. I hope I don't get this. I hope I don't insult you, Naheed. But it's almost like it's interactive, and it's almost like a video game of sorts, which kids understand how to do that better than I would understand how to do that, I believe.
Yeah, sure. Because, you know, it's a game. So, for instance, just an example of that. So there's see the game, which they are in a, they're like a storytelling game things that they have a narrator, which we call it Dr. Dogman, kind of like inspired by Dr. Dogman. And children go there, so they see the kind of like a game that, for instance, it says that the dog is eating, and the children has to make a decision in the game that, okay, I want to play with the dog, or I have to just kind of like leave the dog. So if the children decided to kind of like, okay, no, I want to play with the dog, and trying to just play the game on the way that kind of like interrupt the dog when they're eating. So the dog showing, like, the kind of like, it's kind of be age appropriate. So each children has a different visuals and kind of like a different graphic size. But they see the dog is sad, gets sad or angry, and then they see the consequences of their wrong behaviors playing with the dog when the dog is eating. So it's
right.
Kind of like different scenarios of that children might encounter in the real life with the dog. It turns to the video games. With children, play with that and then learn about all of those scenarios. And then when if they are in the actual scenario, real-life scenario with the actual dog, what they have to do.
Right. And I think it's absolutely brilliant and so important for the reasons we described at the very beginning of all this, but really only touched on. The fact is that dog bite numbers are going up. And I will tell you, even if you don't have a dog, you're probably not listening to this. Maybe you have cats. But my point is that even if you don't have a dog, even if you don't even like dogs, shame on you, your insurance rates are going to end up going up, homeowners insurance, because all of us are going to pay the price for the fact that we are all paying more hospital bills for dog bites and all the rest. I mean, this trickles down into many other spaces in America. Also, there are more dogs than ever before in this country. You mentioned Dr. Nicholas Stodman. He's a veterinary behaviorist, the co-founder of the Center for Canine Behavior Studies. Give me the website and how people can get to what we are talking about, BeBite Smart and the application.
Yeah, so the website for Center for Canine Behavior Studies is www.cbs, centerforcaninebehaviorstudies.com, and the Be By The Smart initiatives will be www.bebitesmart.org.
And that's bebitesmart.org. Thank you so much, Naheed. Brilliant that you did this. It's so incredibly important because, I mentioned the financial implications of dog bites, but of course, psychological implications and for dogs could mean the end of their life, right? So thank you so very much. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Welcome. Thank you very much for giving me time for to do this. Thank you.
As we approach October, not only are we talking about the scary blah, 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 Halloween season, we're also talking about very scary numbers. How many pets do you think are overweight or obese? It is a month to pay attention to overweight and obese pets, as October is National Pet Obesity Awareness Month. So what do you think the numbers are? Turns out 61% of cats are overweight or obese, and nearly as many, 59% of dogs are overweight or obese. Now, I wrote an entire story on this. I'll be on WGN TV talking about this. But the point is that this is a real issue, if not an epidemic. And the result of that is so many medical issues in dogs and cats, ranging from arthritis to, in cats specifically, diabetes, directly related to the fact that so many are overweight or obese. Why is that the case? Well, I'll be talking about it, or check out my website, stevedale.tv. Next week, we'll see you bright and early on WGN.